As we continue our study chapter by chapter, verse by verse in the book of James, grab a Bible, we'll get to James in James chapter 5 as we get to the end of James, where hopefully as we read James we become mature believers. And mature, I don't mean age and old, where you've turned past 50 and everything starts aching when you get up and creaking and groaning. Mature spiritually, where you can make wise decisions, where we can just follow Him wholeheartedly, where we know beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus is our Lord. So James chapter 5. Okay? James chapter 5, and we'll be in 13. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much. We adore You, we worship You, and we want to spend time with You. In this cold weather, You brought people here. Got them out of their warm homes and into their cold cars, and they got here. And Lord, I just pray that today, if there's anyone here who does not know You, that today is the day of their salvation. That they put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, an eternal home in heaven. And Lord, make us the people that pray, where we spend time with You. We adore You. We confess our sins before You, whether the sin of pride, whether the sin of just having it my way, or the sin of just all the things that we do, and we think that we do either in our flesh or in our own minds or in our own strength, Father. We just confess that we don't want to depend upon You. And Lord, then we thank You for all the things You give us. We thank You and praise You, especially for Your Son Jesus, who lived a perfect life, who was the spotless, blameless Lamb of God, who willingly went to the cross and suffered a cruel death, but rose again for our sins and for the sins of mankind. We thank You for Him, and we celebrate Him this season in all the days of our lives. And now, Lord, we know that You're a God that answers prayers. And so we pray for those people that don't know You today. The ones that we know will meet as we're shopping, we'll meet at work, we'll meet in our families when we celebrate Christmas together. And so, Lord, let us be Your mouthpiece. Let us be Your ambassadors. Let us tell others that Christ is here. Our Savior is here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praying is important. It's how we communicate with God. He wants us to pray. As children, we can come confidently and boldly to His throne of grace and pour out our hearts to Him without the fear of going, "That's just a dumb prayer. Why are you praying that?" Or without the fear of being judged or ignored or being misunderstood, because God knows our very thoughts. And God wants us to prayerfully live our lives. And some of us, I believe, think that prayers may be just too small or too puny, or I don't sound eloquent enough, or I don't have the correct pronunciations, or we pray too little or small prayers. And it's just going to God and talking to Him and spending time with Him. So instead of complaining and grumbling and worrying and fretting, we pray. We pray. Because a mature believer prays continually and seeks His will. James 5 and 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Trouble. Suffering. The NIV translates that as trouble, suffering. It means afflicted. Prayer is when someone is afflicted. Afflicted is being in trouble. And there's lots of things that can happen in our lives that raise up trouble. You know? Trouble. As they crop up, we are to pray. Sometimes, of course, trouble can come on our own because we sin and we mess up and we don't do the right things and we're tempted. But a lot of things just happen in life, and there's no reason for it. It just happens. There was one gentleman here on the night of the ladies' tea? His in-laws were driving up from Colorado Springs. And as he's driving, their alternator went out in the middle of the road. And he got out of his bed, went down there and helped, you know, work with the alternator, got it ready. Those kind of things happen, right? In life, they do. And they do that, and when we do that with trouble, what do? We pray, you know? Not, oh, why me, Lord? Is this happening to me? Like, Lord, what's the purpose of this? How can I change? What's going on in my life? What is this happening to me for? Which to glorify you. What is the purpose in far-reaching ministries? We support far-reaching ministries. They are a group that goes and they raise up chaplains that go and they tell others about Christ, but also they are trained in the military. And they're in the Sudan. And they go around and it's still going on. There's people, there's a battle, there's a war, even also almost genocide in the Sudan between Muslims and Christians. And these are the Christian guys, and we support three of them. And it doesn't cost the church very much money. It's like $40 a month, but they survive. It provides for them, for the families. Well, part of this is also what they do is they go around to other worlds, other parts of the world, and they go, and this is an article about they went to Russia. And in Russia, this one lady they supported, so we're kind of part of that, this one lady finally got her own home, her own place to live in. And it says here, flats in Russia are stripped bare by previous owner and do not include cabinets or fixtures, so we wanted to make it move-in ready. When we purchased the kitchen cabinets, we ordered them in light pine, but when they arrived, they were bright red. I think the Lord just planned this to allow a little color in Alona's life. Thankfully, the donation received covered all that was needed to set up a warm, comfortable home. When the family was taken to their new home, they could not fathom how the Lord had provided such an incredible gift. Alana looked at me and asked, "Is this for me?" When we told her it was for her new home, she began to cry. She kept repeating, "Is this mine?" She was completely overwhelmed. We took the family shopping and let her pick out all the new furniture. I suspected that Alana had never had more than enough food and basic necessities at one time. And as she walked through the furniture store in disbelief, this was actually happening. She chose each one carefully and prayerfully. I have never seen such luxury. And for Alana, she's experienced the Psalm 23:3, "He restores my soul." Imagine that. Never having a home. Finally getting a home that's just a track home or whatever it is, and finally getting some furniture and going, wow, this is amazing. This is the first time in her life, and she was 79 years old. And so difficulties in life where we go through troubles, what do? We pray. We seek the Lord for wisdom and guidance, and we can get through all sorts of troubles. We can. Depending upon Him. When we depend upon Jesus and His grace, we patiently watch and wait and turn the troubles into victories. And He turns our troubles and uses them to glorify Himself. And what would this world be like if people actually, instead of the first reaction we naturally have, is, here's this problem. Let's analyze it. Let's put the pros on this side. Let's put the cons on this side. Let's figure this out. And rather than going, Lord, what is this about? How can I glorify you in this? What if people would pray and pray like we're supposed to and pray for each other? Then I believe people would be changed by Him, but also we would be changed by Him. And so I want to go from here to Colossians, because in Colossians, a lot of people ask, especially, how can I pray for the missionaries? Or how can I pray for you? Or how can I pray specifically for you? And we don't know really how to pray. We can pray to the Lord to give us guidance, of course, and He will give us guidance to pray. But in Colossians 1, flip back a few pages to Colossians, there's a guideline of basically how to pray for missionaries and how to pray for each other. Especially not only when they're in trouble, but especially just to live a rich and wonderful Christian life. Okay? Colossians 1. Okay? And in Colossians 1, we'll go 1 through 5 and then we'll skip to 9 and 11. Colossians 1. Great electric power company, hints in Colossians. "Greetings," says Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, "to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae.
Grace to you and peace from our God the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ. Typical Paul greetings. Tells them saints. Makes you a saint as you place your faith in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That makes you a saint. He's talking to the church. He says, we give thanks to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Because the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in the world and is bringing forth fruit and is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. So the first thing we do when we pray and ask for someone to pray, we need help to pray for, is we thank the Lord. Are you a thankful people? Do you thank the Lord for what you have? Do you thank the Lord for your health? Do you thank the Lord for that relationship you have? And thank God you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This love for all the saints is the hope of heaven. And thank God for changed lives. It's amazing that your life has been changed and is changing. Thank Him for that. Thank Him for His Son who died for you unconditionally because of His great love. And we thank Him and we pray. And then we pray always. Notice we pray continuously. And we ask God to help them know what He wants them to do. And we can find that in 9:11. Look up, go up into 9. 1 Colossians in 1 and 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and in the wisdom and of spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Amazing. Let's unpack that. It's amazing steps. So we thank the Lord. And the second thing we can do is we can ask God to help them to know what He wants them to do. That's following His will. And we go back and He's thanking the people in Colossians for doing and being followers of Christ. And often what we do is we ask, can people, we pray for you when you're in trouble. That's good. But other times what we need to do, when you hear great things, what good things is the Lord doing in your life? How can you praise Him? Not only in prayer, but praise. Praise the Lord, you know? When you hear some good things, pray for them. You know why? Why do we pray even when good things are happening? Because that's when the enemy's going to attack. When things are going really well, you think you're doing great, and then you walk around, you got this big target on your back because, oh man, the enemy's not our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The enemy is not unaware of what we're doing. If you're doing great things for the Lord, He's going to come and He's going to attack you. And so we need to pray continually. Pray continually for missionaries. Pray continually for pastors, Sunday school teachers. Pray continually for people. And when you hear praise reports of good things that are happening, pray for them. But also pray for them when they're in trouble. All right? Ask them to follow His will. Example of that would be in Paul in Acts. Paul wanted to go to Asia. If you remember in Acts, he wanted to go to Asia and he was stopped by the Holy Spirit. You can't go to Asia, which was Turkey. I want you to go through Greece. I want you to go up there. And Paul was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go to Asia, but Paul was stubborn. You think of Paul, think of what he did. Paul was just one of those guys that would just not take no for an answer. Sometimes he had to learn. One time Paul went to the town of Lystra, and when he went in there, he preached, and he preached so much he riled the crowd, and then he got stoned, literally stoned. Like rocks thrown at him, right? But the next day, bruised, what did he do? He went back to Lystra to preach. You know, that's what he did. Still, guess what? That's Paul not really listening to the Holy Spirit, because Paul was stubborn that way. Paul was trying to force a door open. And often you've heard that expression too. If God closes one door, He opens up another. But you know what? As people and believers, We don't want to get ahead of God, want to seek God's will. We don't want to try and force those doors open, do we? We force them open, and this is what Paul was trying to do. You know? And sometimes what we do too, when he says, pray for people in trouble, we say, take this trouble away from me. But the Lord uses trouble to change people. So maybe if you're praying against the Lord's will, because that person you know is going through that trouble, good for them. Maybe it'll change them. Maybe it'll depend more on the Lord. And maybe it'll point them in a different direction. In a personal illustration, when I first came down here, I was working at a nursery. Tree nursery, not kid nursery. And so my wife was going, you're not happy there. What do you think you need to do? She said, you used to work with kids when you were growing up in Canada. You would take kids camping and canoeing and hiking and all that kind of stuff. There's an opening at Children's World. Why don't you apply there? If you ever worked at a Children's World, little nursery, that's pretty cool. It was fun. Well, it just so happened that there was a lady there, Mrs. Gonzalez, who worked at Ponderosa Elementary School. And Ponderosa Elementary School is where I got my first job as a TA and got me into Cherry Creek Schools. Okay? So the thing is, I didn't want to go. I refused. Like Paul, I don't want to go work for kids anymore. But guess what? Lord, open up these doors. The more I worked with kids, the more that I was having fun with it, the more that I realized that this was what I was called to do. Point is this. We can be stubborn, like Paul. We can be in trouble. We cannot follow his will. But still, he will open up doors for us to follow him. So the third thing we can ask him is to give people spiritual wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to discern what is best and at the strength of character to act upon the knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to discern, to figure out what's best. And then it's the next step. It's the taking the steps to act upon that knowledge. It is. In 1 Kings 3:9, Solomon asked, he said, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. Not make me wealthy, make me a good king. Give me your wisdom. Give me a discerning spirit so that I can act right. And this was Solomon taking over the kingdom. So you pray for people to give them spiritual wisdom, to grow and to understand, to follow the Lord's will. The fourth thing you can pray for is that they live to please and honor God. And Titus 3:1-2 says, remind people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. Slander no one. I just want to point out, sometimes in our world, even in our TV shows, and even in sports or whatever it is, there's that mocking going on all the time, isn't there? You know? Teasing people. Look at that guy. I mean, even my mother-in-law, who was watching TV the other day and surprised me, one of those Bronco guys did a fumble, and guess she said, oh, that guy's, and she used the S word. And, you know, oh, I went, Grandma, what are you doing? Right? You know? Mocking, slandering, right? You try and run the ball with that guy kind of crushing you. We have to be careful what we say. Slander what you know. But we live in a culture where it's okay to put down and tease and bug people, right? You know, in the teenage culture, that's part of the thing. Ha ha, oh, you dissed me. Just be careful what you say. Engage your brain before you open your mouth, right? Slander no one. That we please and honor God. Because no matter what you say, people are watching you. And you're his representative. And as you call yourself a believer, guess what? You have the responsibility as a missionary, which you are called. All people, once they know Jesus Christ, is called to win, disciple, and send others out. You are a missionary. And so when what you say and how you act and how you treat others can either bring someone toward Christ or take someone away from Christ. So pray that we all live to please and honor God. The fifth thing we can do, pray for, is that we bear much fruit in our lives and the lives of others. In every good work, God has provided a way and given you gifts and talents to work for Him, to serve Him. And when you step up, we asked if people have stepped up already to do the greeting. Some people have been downstairs to help in the nursery, and it's fun. You step up and you go, wow, it's great. You should have seen the smiles on the people's face by serving the Christmas tea. And they're all dressed up, and they're black and they're white, and they're having a great time just serving the ladies. And when you get out of yourself and you start serving, you realize you were created to do something bigger than yourself. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Fruits are byproducts of the Lord Jesus' work in your life. We know Him, we love Him, we remember Him, and we strive to be like Him. A sixth thing you can do as you pray for people is to grow in the knowledge of God. That intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And it comes only when you spend time in His Word and spend time with Him and spend time with other believers. Romans 11, 33 and 34 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. He is unsearchable judgments and His path beyond tracing out. Who knows the mind of the Lord?" Isn't that amazing? Who knows His mind? And you could have a PhD or a doctorate or an ABC or a 1-2-3. It doesn't matter with how many letters or numbers behind your name. You never, ever, ever will truly understand the depths of the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God. And that's why reading the Bible, and that's why spending time with Him, only makes us feel, wow, I don't know so much, do I? Anything we can do is be filled with Christ's joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive the King. Joyful, 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 I adore Thee. All the songs. And number 9, be thankful to and humble to Him. If you place your faith in Christ for your salvation, as I said, you are a missionary. You represent Him. And you follow this pattern of praying for each other. You pray for the lost, and you pray that they come to a knowing relationship with Him. And keep praying for them, because I know and you know that there's people in your life, in your family, that if you presented the gospel to them, you've talked to them, you've given them the books, you've given them the tracts, you've invited them to church, and I know that there are people that still are going, putting up that wall and being stubborn. But the Lord opens up their hearts. And we be persistent, consistent prayers for those lost people. Back to James. James 5. If any among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Cheerful. Full of cheer. Are we full of cheer? We should be cheerful. Cheerful just because the Lord, we have a relationship with Him. Cheerful. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you know that your eternal sanctification process, you know your eternal destiny is heaven. You will be there because you place your faith and trust in Him. The opposite, if you don't, your eternal destination is hell. And that should frighten and scare us and motivate us to tell others about Jesus. If any of you marry, let him sing psalms. Psalms? The middle of the Bible, 150 Psalms, mostly written by David, showing, talking about God, talking about different things, Psalms. The mature Christian knows how to sing in all circumstances. Praise the Lord, we can sing. He loves it when we sing. And you know what? Psalms have inspired other people to write songs. We read Psalm 46. It's where a mighty fortress comes from. Martin Luther. A mighty fortress is our God. That one. Okay? You know? And there's all sorts of other ones. You know? They write there and they sing. And they sing praises to the Lord. If any of you is cheerful. And we should be cheerful in all circumstances. Now, I'm not going to be like that guy that goes, oh, yay, hooray. Like the example, my alternators went out. Super. I get to spend lots of money in the cold and fix it. No, but An example would be in Acts 16. Flip back with Acts 16, where we're cheerful and joyful. Paul and Silas in Acts 16 and in 22. Paul and Silas arrested, beaten up, thrown in jail just for presenting the gospel. Acts 16 and 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So they're beaten, they're bloody, their backs are torn open, and they're in the middle prison, dirty, dark, and damp, chained to each other. And here's what they do in 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the most important part is, and the prisoners were listening to them. Right? So how you act and how your attitude and whether you're singing, people are watching. You are the example. How you act, what you say, what you do, how we respond in bad situations. Because people may come to Christ because of your example. And you're here today, maybe some of you think you have horrible voices when we sing praises. I'm not going to sing those praise songs. I can't sing the praise songs. I'm not going to sing that hymn. Guess what? I'm going to steal what my father-in-law said last night at the High Plains Singers concert. He said, some of you guys think that you may not have, can't carry a tune in a bucket. Well, guess what? The Lord provides many buckets, and we got them for you. So stand up. And when we sing to the Lord. And it doesn't matter. What matters is we are singing. In Revelation 15, 3 and 4, we sing praise and joy to Him. We sing hymns. Oh, praise Him. Revelation 15, 3 and 4 says this, they held harps given Him by the Lord and sang the song of Moses, servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are Your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Your ways, King of ages. Who will not fear You, O Lord, and bring glory to Your name? For You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before You, for Your righteous acts have been revealed. In Revelation, talking about people singing praises to the Lord, singing His songs, and praising His name. So if you are cheerful, sing praises to the Lord. If you are in trouble, ask for prayers and pray. And most of us, we go through life, well, sure, can I pray for you? And we do pray for people, and we ask for prayers. But sometimes some of us, I think, go through life, and we look at the situations too much. Rather than praising the Lord and looking at the world and praising Him for all the things He has done. I want to close by looking at Luke, an example of a song. One, because it's Christmas time, and two, because the words are amazing. There are songs in the Bible, many, many songs. This is known as Mary's song. It's in Luke 1, 46. Mary, mother of Jesus, teenager, chosen by God, miraculously conceived. Mary's song. Luke in 1 and 46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, and He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. His soul, her whole being, the soul, this body is temporary. We know that because as we get older, as I said, it aches and pains. It can break and it dies. But our soul goes on forever. Their soul, that means my mind, my emotions, my essence will live forever. And that belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. So Mary is saying in her song, I will magnify the Lord. The deepest part of me rejoices because God is my Savior. Rejoices. And this song that Mary has written down or recorded is called The Magnificent, because the Lord is so magnificent. So you may be here and you don't really feel like worshiping, because worshiping has nothing to do with your feelings. Worshiping doesn't, how are you doing emotionally? It has nothing to do with your circumstances, as in Paul and Silas, but it has everything to do with Him and what He's done for us, and what He's doing for us, and what He's done already. He loved us. He sent His Son to die for us. And He gives us eternal life in heaven with Him because He paid the price for our sins. So we worship Him. What He has done for you. He has saved you from your sins. He's chosen you. He looks favor on you. He's working for your benefit. And His mercy lasts for generations and generations for those who fear Him and humble Him and pray to receive Him as their Lord and Savior. But you will also notice the warning here. It says, He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones. The proud and the mighty, the ones who don't trust Him, are scattered. But we who believe, praise Him and worship Him because we can spend time and eternity with Him. We worship, we sing psalms, we sing spiritual songs, and we praise Him. Those who are in trouble, pray. Those who are cheerful, sing psalms. Part of worship is communion. As the men come forward and the worship team comes forward, when we do communion, it's open communion here at Calvary Chapel. That means if you are a believer, feel free to take the elements. If you're not a believer, if you never ever prayed a prayer or trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let the elements pass. Because communion is for the believer. No one will look at you. No one will be embarrassed. It's a personal, deep decision. And as we take communion today, reflect and think and prayerfully meditate what you can be cheerful about. Cheerful about the many things that the Lord blesses you with. Please hold the elements, and we'll lead you as we finish. Thank you. body for us. His beaten and bruised. Crown of thorns were crushed cruelly on your head. Your punch spat upon. And yet by your stripes we are healed. So Lord, we take this communion bread. We remember you. Remember what you've done for us. We don't take what you've done for us for granted. Take and eat. Remember. Lord Jesus, thank you for the shed blood. Poured out for you. Poured out for us. Poured out for mankind. You shed your entire blood. Lord, when you cried out, it is finished. You gave your spirit. You died for us. Made right for our sins, past, present, and future. Set us free. Defeated death, the enemy. Lord, remember you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Taking what we deserve. The judgment and the punishment we deserve. On yourself. Take and drink and remember it. Lord, we love you. Follow you and want to sing your praises. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing the last song. As you're cheerful, the song should be going through your head and come out of your heart. When you're walking down the mall, or when you're shopping, or you're at home, and people go, "What's that song?" And then you can tell them about it, right? All right. Sing praises to him.